commenting on the pasuk in this week's parsha that by Vasser Yaakov Levado, that Yaakov was left alone. What does that mean? That was the introduction to him fighting with the angel. So Amar Belozer Shnishtay Al Pachem Kitanim, that he went back for some little flasks. Mikael Tzadikim Shechavale Mamonim Yosher Migufim. So we see that Tzadikim, what does it mean? They don't love their money more than their body. It means that they consider their monetary possessions important. Because they take their monetary issues seriously, and you know they're not going to cheat at all. So they want to make sure not to squander their possessions. So I would like to talk about contemporary applications of we live in a very disposable society. So all these things that we have, you know. You can't imagine somebody, even Yaakov Avinu, going back for a plastic cup. So where do we draw the line? Like, where do we say that, oh, you have a plastic cup, you know, don't throw it out, keep using it, lolem vod, and what are the gedarim here? So the mitzvah that we would turn to, naturally, is the mitzvah of batashchis. We all know, you know, that's quoted as, oh, you can't do that, it's batashchis. The Torah presents the Isser of Baal Tashchis as referring to chopping down a fruit tree. That's how the Torah presents it. It says if you're making a siege around the city, you need to cut down trees. Cut down the non-fruit trees, don't cut down the fruit trees. The Gemara extends that not only to fruit trees, but it seems to be anything. Shemati shehamekarei al meis yoser midai loka. So people tear kriya on a shirt. If they do too much kriya, meaning, I don't know, mean too much here, I'm saying like they tear extra shirts for no reason, so that could be a violation of batashla. So we see that it applies to other things as well. The Gemara there, I don't have it in the surah, but the Gemara implies, and the Rambam says it, that for productive purposes, it's mutter even to cut down a fruit tree. That you need the space for something compelling, you need to cut down the fruit tree, that's mutter. And even for a non-fruit tree, if it's just frivolous, you know, just to cut it down for the sake of cutting it down, that would be usher. So the difference between a fruit tree and a non-fruit tree is really meaning how much value there is. So there are certain things that you would not, it would not be justifiable, or the case in the Torah is you have the option of cutting down a fruit tree versus a non-fruit tree, so the fruit tree is more valuable, so you choose the lesser of two evils, so to say. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that the Shorosh HaMitzvah in general is Kedei Lilmod Nafshenu Leho V'Hova Toheles L'Davivu Mitachet Tivagvanu Tova, that we should make sure to be productive people, and we should love being productive. V'Narchag Mikol Davar Hashchasa, we should distance ourselves from things which are destructive. Meaning to just destroy things for no reason is no good. V'zeh der chasid v'anshei maisa ov mashal musmeichem b'tov abriyus m'kamen osam l'torah v'lo yavda afil gargal shirachal dobal. And they wouldn't even lose a mustard seed. Okay, so it is a good midah to not be wasteful and not engage in destructive activities. The Sifri on those psukim present a number of other halachas. First, it says it applies even if you don't cut the tree down directly, but you cut off the water supply. You know, a tree is getting water, and then you cut off the water supply. So that's and seems to learn out there's a positive mitzvah. The pasuk says in the first pasuk in source 2, ki mimenu sochal, not just lo sashchis, not just don't destroy, but mimenu sochal. There's a positive aspect of benefiting from the fruit, or making sure that you can benefit from the fruit. And then Rabbi Yishmael says that as a kal v'chomer, if you can't cut down the fruit tree, you certainly can't destroy the fruit itself, meaning food has a unique status here. So Shimon Sofer, who lived in the 19th century, raises the following question. And this is the question of the day in our disposable society. So we say you're allowed to destroy things for productive purposes. Is it considered productive if it's for time, meaning for me to do X, Y, and Z and preserve this item is going to cost me an hour to wash the plastic cups and use them again. That's why I bought them. I bought them so I could throw them out and not have to use them. So it's not worth my time to keep having to wash them. So is time considered a factor in this whole Baal Tashchis discussion? So he says on the one hand, you know, like we always say, time is money. So it's somewhat of a productive purpose. On the other hand, we don't find other mitzvos where time is a factor. You know, you could say, you know, if it's going to cost me $15,000 to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, and I don't have that kind of money, so I'm patur from the mitzvah of sukkah. There's a certain amount of money you have to spend for a mitzvah. But if it's going to cost me, you know, if I have to travel 3 days and not with gas, but let's say by foot or whatever, and money's not the issue, just time is the issue, so that's not an exemption. We don't find that as being an exemption. He doesn't point this out. We do find it by certain mitzvahs, Rabbanan, where distance is a factor. Let's say going to Minyan, the poskim say that you only have to travel a certain distance or a certain amount of time, the sheer tircha, but it could be that Minyan is different because that might not be an actual chi of Netilas Yadayim. The Gemara says you don't have to go more than four parses out of your way to wash, one parse out of the way, four parses on the way to wash Netilas Yadayim. But that might also be like a unique thing for Netilas Yadayim. But in general, time, you can't say, well, I don't have enough time to do a mitzvah. That's usually not a factor. So that's what Rav Shimon Sofer says, that maybe it might be problematic. His son, which is, so that's source 5, and then source 6 is the Hagos, the Soros B'tshuva, written by his son. So he says that in general, for a mitzvah, we don't factor in time, but this particular mitzvah, because it's more active than passive, meaning you normally violate it by wasting something. Not, there's no chiyuv to get up and make sure to do X, Y, and Z. So to make sure to preserve it, so then there's more of a reason to be makel here. So
you have the Bach on Chol HaMoed.
He
said he used to write because it would save him time.
Okay. So, it is a factor, but there again, Davar Avid is always mutter. Here, you're talking about perhaps violating a mitzvah.
Right.
So he says that this particular mitzvah, because it's violated primarily by destroying things as opposed to not actively doing something, so then you can consider time a factor. This is not so pashut. Like we said before, the Sifri, we mentioned the Sifri about cutting off the water supply to a tree. So the Nesivas in, let me just get to my Maramaka, the Nesivas in Choshen Mishpat, based on the fact that it says Mimeno Sochal, and this example from the tree, it's in Reish Samach Aleph, Sifkat Aleph. So the Nesiva says that maybe it is a problem to let things passively get destroyed. And the Chazon Ish has a different approach to Sifri. The Chazon Ish is on the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, Perek Vav Halacha Ches. So he says that the case of the cutting off the water stream is that where there's a constant flow of water to the tree and you stop the water from flowing. But if you, let's say, water the tree every day and then tomorrow you say, hey, I don't have time to water the tree anymore, that's not a violation of Bal Tashlis. The tree will die, but it's not because you did anything directly to it, so that wouldn't be a violation. So you have already in the poskim this debate about whether you can let something go passively. So again, Avram Sofer used that as a sniff, meaning it's possible that in general your time is worth your energy. Your time is worth something to you, and you don't have to clean all your you don't have to spend so much time dealing with garbage to not violate Bal Tashlis. And then in addition to that, it could be that because it's passive, then it's not problematic. Rav Yashiv is quoted, there's a Sefer Eitz HaSada, which is like a collection of all the halachas of Bal Tashlis. Rav Yashiv is quoted as saying that, let's say a caterer has leftover food, and it's going to cause, you can't really, as a caterer, you can't serve it again. It's against the law. You know, it's health issues and all these things. So if there are organizations that take the leftover food and give it to people, and whatever the legalities of that are. So Rav Yashiv says if disposing it is going to just cost you money because you have to pay people to help you dispose of it, so then certainly you're allowed to throw out the leftover food. He points out, you should throw it out in a way that's kind of bekavodik, meaning you shouldn't destroy it. this, I guess, applies to regular garbage as well. You know, you're not really destroying anything. Certain things, if you throw something into the garbage, it's no longer usable. But as a whole, you know, you don't destroy it. You put it in the garbage and you put it outside and whatever happens.
Straight anyway. I mean, it's biodegradable.
Right, okay, but I'm saying meaning to take a cup when you're finished with the plastic cup and throw it out for no reason, that might not be the right thing to do.
But stuff that's recyclable anyways, would that...
Recycling might be... We'll get to... Here's recycling. Here's the take on recycling. So the Chai Adam... I'm sorry, the Gemara in Yevamos quotes Rav Yosef Kanshan Rebbe Lo Yishbach Adam Meborovat Lechem Tzirchem. Don't spill out well water if other people can use it. Meaning you just want to draw the water from the well, and the water is free, meaning there's enough water there forever, but it's just a tircha to go down and take the water out. So you just drew the water, you don't need it. Don't spill it out. If somebody else needs it, give it to them instead of having them go out to the well. So, the Chai Adam talks about the following. What happens if you have, let's say, tzitzis? They're perfectly good tzitzis, but the garment itself wore out. So, you know, most people go to the store and they'll buy a new garment, and the garment comes with tzitzis, and they have no need for the strings that are attached to the old one. But then there are people who do, you know, the tziv says to put it on, you should better put it on yourself. So there are people who will do that. So, and I assume in the old days it was probably more of the latter, that you didn't just go to a store and buy ready-made tzitzis. So the Chai Adam says that really, because of this principle of lo yishpach adam meboro, if your garment wore out, you shouldn't just throw out the whole garment, leaving aside the issue of disposing of tzitzis, but you should take off the strings and give them to somebody else who can use them. But he says, and this is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, So you can just cut them, right? It's not baltashchis because you're not really destroying them, meaning they're as strings they're good, as tzitzis strings they're no good, but you can use them as a bookmark or whatever. So it's not real baltashchis, but certainly nobody's going to be able to use them again. So if it's a tircha for you to undo the strings, so you're allowed to do that. That's not considered a lo yishpach adam meboro. So that's another perspective here, that there is tircha, at least in the idea of recyclables. So we can get around baal tashchis maybe because it's a tircha, and then maybe we could also get around the issue of the chiyuv to give it to somebody else who can use it, because it, depending on the case, it might be somewhat of a tircha to do it. If it's not a tircha, then no. But if it is a tircha, then maybe yes. And the last thing I'll point out is that there's a comment of the Torah Lishma, which was written by the Ben Ish Chai, right? So this comment seems to fly in the face of some of the other psukim that we've quoted, that he's talking about people who leave a candle on at night. I guess, you know, like a kind of like this is in the old days, like a night light, so if you have to go to the bathroom, or you have to go there, the bathrooms are outside, but yeah, whatever, you have to get up in the middle of the night to go somewhere, so they left one candle lit. So he says there are people who leave two wicks the whole night and they really only need one, meaning all before they go to sleep they have two wicks in there and it burns brighter. But they don't really need that at night. At night, you just need like a little bit of light so that if you get up in the middle of the night, you know where you're going. So he says that there's a chiyuv to take out the second wick before you go to sleep and go on the lower fuel. And if you don't do that, you're going to be over baltashkas. So that's clearly not a direct, meaning you know, it's hard to say. You know, you forgot one night to pull out the wick. That you're going to be over baltashkas. It's certainly passive, meaning you didn't actively destroy anything. The candle is already burning, and you just forgot to take out the second wick. But you do see from the Ben Ish Chai this idea of conservation as a whole, that we shouldn't just waste, even if we're not actively involved in anything. If there's a light on and it's burning extra electricity, even if you're willing to pay for it, it's a tircha. I don't want to go. You know, I'm about to go to sleep. I'm tired. It's better to turn off that light, even if it's only going to cost a few cents. But he points out that it's just you know, that it's just a waste, then it might be an issue. So so we could try to emulate the midas of Yaakov Avinu and what the Sefer Chinuch says are all tzaddikim and chassidim, derech chassidim and shemaisa, that that they turn out to waste things.
So
it's
maybe
close. Yeah, I don't think
so. That,
right. That, 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 I,